In which I've done solo gigs this year, and the very first gig that I did was in Stafford, at a theatre in Stafford. And in the afternoon before I went to Stafford, I went to do BBC Radio Stoke, and I went into the studio and I sat in the lobby changing my strings there before I went on the air, and at the reception desk talking to the two receptionists was a big tall guy about 6'2" and really broad. Really, he looked like a very hard, very damaged human being. And he was trying to tell the people, the receptionists, that they should give him time on the BBC radio to talk about what had happened to him. And he had a file with him. And every so often he'd open this file and he'd show them a picture. This guy was an ex-serviceman who'd fought in Belfast and Bosnia. He'd come back and found himself utterly unsupported by the government and by society. And he was trying to get attention, he was trying to get people to listen to him. And the two receptionists, who I dare say were a little bit unnerved by what they were listening to, said, you know, there's nothing we can do, we're not the right people to talk to. And eventually, in a very level kind of mood, he left. There's nothing I can do either, but it's so typical. So, let me want to sing this song.
A shit home it sent me to.
beautiful light in a mother's dark eyes of blue. I stood down on the tarmac. I was just a kid. Me and my brothers under a bridge. Come Veterans Day, I sat on the stand in my dress blue. I held your mother's hand as they passed through the red, white, and blue. 1 minute you're right there, then something slips. Somebody coming back from the war. This was written by the Cornish poet Charles Corsley and set to music by a young Devonian relative of his called Jim Corsley. Indeed. Jim's a great singer. I heard him do this at the Lyme Regis Folk Festival last summer, and I bought the record immediately, and it's a record called Cypress Well, which is, it's all settings of Charles Corsley's poetry, and it's beautifully done, and this song would not leave me alone, it really wouldn't, and so I learned it. And I brought it to my friends Andy Cutting and Nancy Kerr. And we arranged it. And we've recorded it for a record which is coming out in June. Which is called Murmurs. And as we played it, it felt different to anything that we'd done before. So we decided we'd invented a new genre, which we called Morris Noir. So this is a poem that Corsley wrote, and I think it's really enigmatic. It's beautifully enigmatic. He was in the British Navy in the Second World War, and he wrote this. Tasted the bread and we drank the brine. I bound your wounds as you diving sea, we whistled to sun and moon and setting. Together we whistled to moon and to sun. We vowed that our stars should be as one. No, never said I. Very modern kind of approach, in a sense. What happens in these songs is that the guy goes off to war, and war at that time could take an awful long time. You didn't get sent home every few months for a rest. So in this case, judging by the campaigns that are described in the song, the bloke's probably been away for 10 years. And before he leaves, what he does is he and his girlfriend divide a token between them. So they split, in this case, a ring. Sometimes it's a coin, sometimes it's a ring. So that when he comes back, he can say, look, it's me, here we go. Here's the half of the coin, half of the ring, whatever. But this guy, he doesn't exactly play it straight. He comes back and he lurks. He stalks his ex-girlfriend. Still his girlfriend, actually. But he kind of wanders about until he finds her, and she is lamenting because she misses him and she thinks everybody else has come back, he must be dead. So he watches her do this for a while, and then he talks to her and he says, can I ask who it is you're lamenting for? What's his name? And she says, and he says, I was in battle with him. Fantastic. Amazing. He was killed. Now, what happens next is that she has a conniption, of course. She loses it. And when he watches her lose it, at that point he goes, just kidding, honey, I'm home now. If it was you, or me, at this point, you'd just beat the shit out of me. But it's a folk song, so she goes, phew. What a relief, darling. It's an amazing tune. This was collected in Ottawa, in Canada, and it was collected by a folk song collector. And what used to happen often with these songs is that they would bring them and they would give them to academics and classical musicians. And if you listen to this tune, basically, it does a lot of different things. So it starts off in a major key. Like that, and then the next line changes mode. And back again. Now that's pretty weird in itself. So it does that twice, and then the third line goes into the minor key. So folk song collectors would give tunes like this to the academics, classical musicians, and their response on several occasions was, you've obviously made a mistake here, because this is peasant music, and a peasant couldn't understand that. It's nice that, isn't it? The very first commercial recordings of traditional folk music in this country were released on Wax Cylinder in 1908. Came from North Lincolnshire, and they were released under the title of Genuine Peasant Folk Singers. So I think, you know, if we return the Tories at the next election, we'll be having that again, ladies and gentlemen. So I suspect we probably should. This is called The Plains of Waterloo.
By your description, oh, I might have known the same.
And we fought for all 3 days until at last we did defeat him. That bold Napoleon Bonnie on the plains of Waterloo. Blues singer from Wyoming, which is unlikely, actually. It's a bit like being a blues singer from Scunthorpe, being a blues singer from Wyoming. But this guy's name is Spencer Boren, and he'd grown up singing gospel music, and as everybody knows, it's just a little tiny sideways slip from gospel music into the blues. It is, however, a great deal harder to get back once you've made that tiny slip, as everybody knows. Spencer spent years doing solo gigs on the road in the States, except he didn't travel solo. He travelled with his wife and four children in an Airstream trailer which he pulled with a 1955 Chevy. So he didn't miss them when they pulled into town. They were highly visible. It's like the circus arriving, and a very beautiful circus at that. And I got to know Spencer quite well in New Orleans. We used to go and see music, we listen to music, talk about it, occasionally play gigs together. And one day he asked me if I'd ever done the Mississippi Delta, as it were. And I said I hadn't, because I didn't want to feel like, you know, an idiot English tourist standing there. Is this where the blues came from? So he said, well, I tell you what, I know it by the back of my hand. I spent years there. It'd be like a guided tour. I said, that'd be brilliant. Thank you very much. So we got in the 55 Chevy. And the bench seat in the front of a 55 Chevy is a bit wider than this stage, but there's a lot more headroom in a Chevrolet. It's a massive thing, you know. And on the bench seat between us, we had a box of cassette tapes and a little battery-operated cassette player. And we would put in the appropriate musician for the towns that we pulled into. So we drove around Bentonia, Mississippi, listening to Skip James, and in Clarksdale we played Charlie Patton and Muddy Waters and so on, which was fantastically atmospheric and wonderful. But there was one thing that I couldn't get out of my mind, which was that the Mississippi Delta just kept reminding me of South Lincolnshire with a history of racial violence and slavery. It's flat and a bit nasty and very, very underpopulated, because everybody left as soon as they could. But you would pull into these little towns and there'd be nobody in sight at all, just empty places. Or you were always on the wrong side of the tracks, because that's where the blues came from. There'd be, you know, cotton sheds, and all the businesses were run down and most of them were empty. There'd be nobody in sight until you pull up in a 55 Chevy, at which point it was like the shopkeeper in Mr. Ben, you know, as if by magic an old black guy would appear and he'd want to talk about the car. That's a 55, man, I used to drive as a 55, and he'd want to ask about the carburetors and the engine size and what have you. Which I couldn't do, but Spencer could. And in no time flat, we had a friend, you know. And I realised that the car was a concrete manifestation of the American dream, and there are very few of those. So I wrote this called Delta Dream. We do up north out of New Orleans in a 55 belly. We got music on the bench seat, expectation in the air. There's room for a man to wear his hat in this church of red and cream. We are pilgrims of birds driving in this dream. Is that a 55, man? I used to drive a 55. Watch out under the hood, man. She makes me feel alive. Live oak straight with Spanish moss, like rags of shawls and ball gowns. Shave the shame-faced houses along the river road, and on the bluffs of Vicksburg, the big guns still guard the river. They're menacing the barges as they haul their heavy load. Is that a 55, man? I used to drive a 55. Watch you got under the hood, man. She makes me feel alive. Outside the closed-down undertakers, two Lincoln hearses standing, rusting and peeling in the unforgiving air. And the church where Sonny Boy lies buried, burned down to the ground. Crucifix and rusty nails in the ashes that I found. There's no panther in the cane breaks, no devil at the crossroads. There's a 57 Cadillac tearing down the road. His bird breath and his buddies, they're coming from Chicago. They got a fifth of whiskey, they got 100 miles to go. They're barreling from the west side to the Gulf of Mexico. Is that a 55, man? I used to drive a 55. Watch, she got under the hood, man. She makes me feel alive. Thank you. with all the young people left here, for the steel mills and assembly lines, the marshalling yards and the killing floors. Many years ago, but the cities, they are dying, the industries are wasted, and there sure is no good reason to come back here anymore. Is that a 55, man? I used to drive a 55. What's gonna hurt, man? She makes me feel alive. We drove north out of New Orleans in a 55 Belly. Music on the bench seat, expectation in the air. There's room for a man to wear his hat in this church of red and cream. We are pilgrims and birds driving in the stream. Is that a 55, man? I used to drive a 55. What's she gonna learn, man? She makes me feel alive. John Simpson Kirkpatrick, who was born on Tyneside in 1892, one of eight kids. When he was little, he used to work with the donkeys on the South Shields seafront. That was his way of making money for his family. In November of last year, I went into my little girl's class in school. They asked me to come in and sing a couple of songs that dealt with the First World War. So in I went, and I wanted the kids to kind of, you know, relax and relate. So after I said about the donkey rides, I said, so how many of you here have been on a donkey ride, you know, on the at the seaside? 85% of the kids went like that. And the next day, I got on a plane and I flew to Calgary and then to Saskatoon. And then the next morning, I drove to Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. And I was introducing this song. And because you do, you know, you get these things in your head. You go, so how many of you here have been on a donkey ride at the seaside? Don't like donkeys in Saskatchewan, I think. Don't have seaside. Anyway, that's what John Simpson Kirkpatrick did until he was in his teens, and then he joined the Merchant Navy, and away he went to be a stoker in the Merchant Navy. He did that until he got fed up, and he jumped ship in Australia, disappeared for a while, and the next thing we know is it's 1914, and he volunteered in the Ambulance Corps of the Anzacs, the Australia and New Zealand Army Corps. I think thinking that they would put him on a troop ship back to England on the way to France, and he thought, well, I can go on because I've had enough now. But they sent him to Turkey instead, and they went to the Dardanelles and landed in April of 1915. So we've got Waterloo in 1815 and Gallipoli in 1915, and here we are in 2015. So that landing on the beach there, he's standing with the rest of his ambulance corps guys, the stretcher bearers. They worked in groups of six, and around him people being blown to pieces and machine gunned to death and what have you. And he looked up the beach and he saw a little donkey. He went, that's me. And he got this donkey and he called it Murphy, after his favourite donkey from South Shields. And over the next 4 weeks, he rescued 300 wounded men under fire. And his colonel said of him that he was the bravest and most admired of all the heroes of Gallipoli. And after 4 weeks of this, he was killed and immediately recommended for the Victoria Cross. And the donkey was recommended for the Dickens Medal, which is the animal equivalent of Victoria Cross. And the donkey got it. and he was turned down on the grounds that he'd been nominated under the wrong category of heroine. So there you go, he still has no decoration. In Australia, he's a national hero. They keep campaigning for him to get his VC. In this country, nobody knows who he is. In South Shields, outside Morrison's supermarket, there's a statue of a man and a donkey, and nobody knows who it is. So, June Tabor told me I should write this song. On my Canadian tour that I mentioned, I played a place called Salt Spring Island in Vancouver Sound, and after the first set, when I sang this song, this big guy came up to me, tears streaming down his face, and he was Australian, and he'd grown up with his grandmother telling him how his grandfather had been rescued at Gallipoli by a man with a donkey. So the chances of that are fairly small.
Fetch him on your
So those of you who know about folk music are not expecting to be cheered up over the next 6 or 7 minutes. I had the pleasure of working with one of the great Scots singers, Dick Gochan, on my last record but one. And he came into the studio and we did 2 songs together. I played, he sang. Very easy, done it. And he somewhat took me by surprise then. He said, "Look, I've been working with a reggae band in Canada." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, set me a backing track. I'm going to put the vocals on. Would it be okay to do it now?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely, great. What is it?" He said, "It's a ballad." I said, "Okay, which one?" He said, "It's Epi Mori." And I said, "I don't know Epi Mori. Is it brutal, tragic, and bloody?" He said, "No, not at all. It's got a happy ending." I said, "Really? What happens?" So it was about a young woman who was cruelly abducted away from her home and family and forced into marriage with a young nobleman whom she despises. So far, so good. It's their wedding night. She wants nothing to do with this bloke. He attempts to rape her, so she beats the shit out of him. "Fantastic, Dick. What happens next?" He said, "That's the end." Scottish happy ending, ladies. This doesn't have a happy ending. I learned this from Gochan. He recorded it in the middle 70s when he was in a vicious folk rock band called Five Hand Reel. I learned a great deal from Dick, a lot of music and a lot of useful things like how to survive taxi queues late at night in Leith. How not to drink gin for breakfast, that was a big one.
Ask my sister Anne, by the rose and the lily.
not forget my brother John, the rose it blooms sweetly over. And he is asked to father the king by the rose and the lily gay. He is asked to mother the queen, the rose it blooms sweetly over. He is asked to sister Anne, the rose and the lily gay. He forgot her brother John, the rose and blooms sweetly old. Her father led them through the hall, by the rose and the lily gay. Her mother she danced before them all, the rose and blooms sweetly old. Her sister Anne led them through the close, by the rose and the lily gay. Her brother John helped her on her horse, the rose and blooms. His sister to the heart and the rose and the blooms sweetly over there. Up and spoke a leading man, by the rose and the lily gay. And thinks our bride looks wondrous wan, the rose and blooms sweetly over. here on June the 17th to launch the album Murmurs with Nancy Kerr and Andy Cutting, which is a record I'm very, very proud of, and I will be haranguing you for months, reminding you that it's coming out in June. There'll be a brief intermission after this, and then the lovely and extremely wonderful Diana Jones will be on. Please put your hands together for the gentleman on the sound desk for doing a beautiful job. This was number one in this country when I was 3 years old, which was quite a long time ago. Thank you. Derby left me, I found a new place to dwell. It's down the end of Lonely Street and Heartbreaking Hill. You made me so lonely, babe. I get so lonely, babe. I get so lonely, I could die. Oh, you know it's always a crowd, but you still can't find some room. Where a broken hearted lover can just cry away the gloom. You made me so lonely, I get so lonely, baby. I get so lonely, I could die. Bellhop's tears keep flowing, and the desk looks dressed in black. They've been so long on the street, they ain't never looking back. You made me so lonely. I get so lonely, baby. I get so lonely, I could die. So now if your baby leaves you and you need a new place to dwell, you just take